You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Morning. It is time to get up with the king, choosing his new kingdom. Will he make Baltimore the unstoppable force of the NFL? Meanwhile, what is stopping the Cowboys? Rather than all in, they've literally been all out. We'll tell you why that is such a mistake. And then one voice you trust says the Bears need to do the unthinkable with Justin Fields. We'll tell you what we think as we get up with you, starting right now. Good morning, and it is time to get up. Delighted to have you. Along with the First Lady here and the Secretary of Defense, we have lots of political news that we'll get to a little bit later here this morning. I know what you want to hear me talk about. I promise we will get to it. President Riddick is ready to go this morning here. He's got plenty to say. Oh, we've got a lot to get to. But let's start with the actual football news on this football day. NFL free agents can officially sign their new contracts 4 o'clock Eastern this afternoon. And one of those will be Derrick Henry, headed to Baltimore on a 2-year deal. He has led the league in rush attempts for the last 5 years. He's run for 7,000 yards during that time. You think, boy, what an enormous acquisition, right? Well, the folks in Vegas don't think so. The Ravens odds at ESPN Bet did not change. But as you can see, they were already pretty good. They went from 9-1 to 9-1, third shortest to win the Super Bowl, second shortest behind KC in the AFC, shortest odds still to win the division. Ryan Clark, first thought when he saw it, I got to say, when I saw that, I thought to myself, wow, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the same backfield, that could be about as dynamic as anything we've ever seen. What was your first thought?
Eh. Oh.
Eh?
Yeah, I mean, I think, when is the last time we ever came to work and Kimberly Martin was telling us, oh my goodness, the Ravens can't run the football. Now, we've heard the Ravens won't run the football.
Yeah, they didn't.
The Ravens
right, they didn't
run the football. But we've never had an issue with Derrick Henry having to add to a Ravens run game that has not been explosive, that has not been dynamic, that has not been
physical. Doing this to Josh Norman.
But they've never had anyone who could do that.
Josh Norman is a
person. They've never had anyone who could do that.
But you've also never seen people just run up on Gus Edwards willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Right? And so we're looking at a guy like Derrick Henry replacing Gus Edwards, and you're thinking about more so the aura of Derrick Henry than what he's actually going to add to a run game that was already number one in the entire NFL. Will you be scared? May you take dives sometimes instead of taking quarterback? Yes, you're going to have to make those decisions schematically, but this doesn't change the fate of the Baltimore Ravens. What changes the fate of the Baltimore Ravens is Lamar Jackson in that pass game being proficient and efficient in the playoffs, in the critical football moments. It's a coach understanding that we got here by running the football. There's nothing to prove because Patrick Mahomes is on the other side of the field. And that was Todd Monken as an offensive coordinator. I'm excited to see what this run game will look like from a physical standpoint, but this doesn't change the fact that Kansas City is the team to beat and Vegas still has it right.
Lewis, you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree that it doesn't put them necessarily in front of Kansas City, for sure. And until someone is actually able to prove on the football field that they can beat Kansas City, I don't care what moves anybody makes, quite honestly, in the AFC. I'm never going to say that they're going to be the odds-on favorite above them. What I do like, though, is the fact that, look, when you're building your football team and you're always trying to incrementally improve your roster, this is the kind of move that you make because it fits stylistically what you want to be as an offense. You want a downhill thumper who now can go 80. He can go 80 on you. He will make corners and some safeties start to question whether or not, hey, how do I really want to hit this guy? Or do I really want to hit this guy? And that's just something that you can't deny. Keaton Mitchell, if he comes back, you know, healthy from his knee injury, was one of the most explosive runners in all of football last year. And something that absolutely just gutted this offense when he got hurt, and John Harbaugh loves him. Both him and Derrick Henry are both near the tops of the league in terms of yardage after contact per rush, yardage after contact, after initial contact per rush. That is something that, look, that's just objectively the way the data is. This is a top five offense in terms of run block win rate. So, look, they're gonna maul you. They're going to maul you in the run game. But Ryan's right. The pass game is the next phase that needs to take it up a notch and be able to be multiple. They'll draft another wide receiver to go along with Zay Flowers. That part of the team will improve. Defensively, they're going to be good. But this, hey, look, it puts them a step closer, and I love the move.
Like, closer. Can I just remind everyone, I understand Kansas City beat him in the game that really mattered. But the Ravens won 13 games last year. The Chiefs won 11. I mean, they were already ahead of them. They just, it was one afternoon in which the Chiefs were the better team.
What they did was make a strength an even bigger strength by adding Derrick Henry. I love the move. I'm kind of in between RC and Lewis. I love the move because Todd Monken can stretch out a defense. He's also forcing defenses to be quick enough to keep Lamar in the pocket, but also strong enough to stop Derrick Henry from scoring, which is very hard to do. But again, when I look at this offense, I think the biggest thing when you add Derrick Henry is, okay, at least now we're guaranteed that they're going to run the ball in the playoffs. Great, because they forgot to do that. But again, what is going to take them over the top is drafting a wide receiver, adding more weapons in the passing game, because they were trying to pass the ball way too much when they shouldn't have been, when they should have been running the ball, and I just need them to be a little bit more balanced on offense.
Yeah, when you think about Derrick Henry, he's obviously one of the best backs of this generation, and you understand the physicality in running downhill, but the one lasting memory I have of Derrick Henry's Tennessee Titans career is when the Kansas City Chiefs were coming back to beat them in the playoffs, Derrick Henry had on a coat, right? Derrick Henry has been the best back in football for many of these years, and his team hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl.
Right.
And you're adding Derrick Henry, who's been the best back in football, who has not gotten to a Super Bowl, to an offense that was the best rushing offense in football, but also has not gotten to a Super Bowl. I am excited, too, about the names, right? So if you're looking at a roster and you're a defense going throughout the week, and you're like, holy hell, they got Lamar Jackson. You understand what he individually means in the run game. You have Derrick Henry. You understand what he individually means in the run game. Mm-hmm. But what does that mean for playoff wins? The conversation about whether or not the Ravens can be a great regular season team is over. We shouldn't talk about this team until we get to the playoffs and how this affects them.
I mean, I guess all of that is fair. I can't argue with any of that. Yeah. I will say I'm old enough to remember Derrick Henry taking a very mediocre Tennessee team to the AFC Championship game basically by himself.
How long ago was that?
Not that long.
Because his yards per game have gone down. They've been cut in half since 2020.
Yeah, but the rest of the offense is gone. They traded away their best receiver. I mean, in Tennessee, they basically punted on their entire offense except for Derrick Henry. Give me a quick final thought, Lewis.
Yeah, I wouldn't attribute his yards per carry going down too much, Kim, on him, you know, experiencing some kind of precipitous decline. Look, their offensive line is nowhere near what it used to be in Tennessee. And he will realize, obviously, very quickly when he gets to Baltimore, this offensive line is much better than anything he has run behind recently. And I'll tell you this, teams respect Baltimore. Teams are wary of what Baltimore is doing. Okay, I can tell you, even Kansas City knew that they were up against it when they went into Baltimore. They weren't scared. I'm not saying that in the least. But teams respect what this roster really can present in terms of a challenge. And this is just another piece that's going to make it even tougher to go ahead and knock them off and keep them out of it.
All right. So Derrick Henry is going to sign with the Ravens, which means he is not going to sign with the Dallas Cowboys, continuing a week in which he has that in common with the rest of planet Earth. The Cowboys are just not signing anybody. They talked about being all in. Well, so far, they generally seem to have been all out. They haven't done anything. And their former receiver, Dez Bryant, is paying attention. He said, get ready to take the blame, Dak, because I really don't see no help coming your way unless a miracle happens. Everybody in the NFC East got better during free agency, but the Cowboys, the draft, will not be enough. So I enlisted the help. As you, I will do what you guys always do, and that is you always credit Hembo for giving you stats. Well, I asked Hembo to get me some stats. Because I asked Lewis a question this morning, if I am lucky enough to own an NFL team, Lewis is going to be my general manager. And I said, the teams that win this first day, like the first day of free agency is so splashy, right? I mean, everyone, all these big splashy signings. Does it actually correlate to winning in the regular season? And the answer is, yes, it does. If you look over the last 10 off seasons, the teams that were the top three spenders averaged two more wins In the following year, the teams that were the bottom three spenders averaged 1.5 fewer wins the following year. So it has made a those are significant numbers, to be clear. So it has made a big difference, Lewis. So when I with that as the context, how big a deal should people be making of the fact that the Cowboys are basically standing pat and losing people?
Well, look, when you ask me this question, look, I understand how in the recent past, in the past decade, that it has correlated to wins. Unfortunately, I've been a part of organizations where we were big spenders in the first 48 hours and it amounted to nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, it amounted to turmoil. So, look, I think with Dallas, you have to understand that, look, this is a long offseason. And I think a lot of the things, or really the one position that really we are giving them a lot of grief about is the running back position, because of the fact that we think that Dak Prescott needs help, and he does need help. And why were they not in the market for Derrick Henry, especially that profile of running back, considering that, look, Tony Pollard's no longer in the fold. They had a hammer at one time in Ezekiel Elliott. He's no longer there. So what are you going to do now? Obviously, they're kind of like right now they're up against it because they're trying to get Dak renegotiated. They know that CD's on the horizon. They know that Micah's on the horizon. So people are going, what are you doing? Do something. You're not doing anything. But I'll tell you this. If they come up in the draft, right, and they draft a guy like, let's just say, Trey Benson out of Florida State. Mm-hmm. Say they wind up getting him, you know, early on in the draft, and you have a 6'2", 6'3", 220-pound running back who runs 4'4", who I've seen personally twice, and the kid can absolutely get after it. And he goes for 12, 1,300 next year, and the running game isn't a problem. As a matter of fact, it's a strength. Then we're going to look back at this and go, man, we were just sitting here, you know, yapping away at Dallas for no reason. So they still have time to correct it. But I will say this. They better go ahead and make these moves that amount to something that's going to help them. Because if they don't, we're going to come back to these conversations going, hey, man, what were you doing? You said you were all in, but you did nothing. But they still have time, but we're going to be watching close. That's for sure.
Trey Benson, for those of you who don't know, transferred from Oregon, ran for 1,900 yards, 23 touchdowns for Florida State the last two seasons, and he ran a 4.39 at the combine. So maybe they can replace that with a rookie. But the fact remains, like, the world wants to see the Cowboys do something, and they've done nothing.
Yeah, they've done nothing, and it's more so not necessarily that the world wants to see it. It's that when listening to Jerry Jones, the world expected it. Dak Prescott is being asked questions about Jerry Jones' statements. Also, Micah Parsons is saying, if he's all in, I want to see that, because I feel like we haven't done enough in the past off seasons. And now he's sitting at home and he's watching the Saquon Barkleys and the Chauncey Gardner-Johnsons go to teams like the Philadelphia Eagles. He's watching Brian Burns make the defense of the New York Giants a better rush team because of his acquisition. He's seeing the Washington Commanders make moves like take his old teammate Dante Fowler and make him a part of what they are. Frankie Louvoux also defensively. And so he's watching all of these things happen in the NFC East as people get better and the Dallas Cowboys are not. Lewis spoke about the one position we're focusing on because you lose Tony Pollard, that was already a bad backfield last year, and you miss out on a guy like Derrick Henry. But what about the linebacker position and stopping the run? What about the loss of Dan Quinn and what they did defensively with the roster that was built specifically to do what they needed on third down, do what they needed in sub packages? What about CeeDee Lamb when you think about the Green Bay Packer game in the wild card round when CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott didn't seem to have chemistry? Who else stepped up outside of them in the pass game? This isn't a great roster, and to do nothing at this point to me is a problem. The most disappointing team thus far.
I think RC pretty much laid it out when he said, this is the mistake, when we were listening to Jerry Jones. Because even Dak, like, listen, honestly, that's it. Because Dak is like, oh, I don't know what all in means, but I'm sure excited to see it. No one has any idea what Jerry's plans are, and so far he's done nothing. And this is a team with, obviously, a lot of aspirations to get to a Super Bowl, but they haven't actually put the time in, the money in, the resources in to build this roster.
Yeah, so far the plans have not been what they said the plans
the
were
plans
going to be.
The plans ain't planning.
The plans ain't planning. In the meantime, the plan for Justin Fields isn't coming together either. The Bears are running out of trade options. Is there suddenly an alternative that they must consider in Chicago? We'll get into that. Plus, is he going to go from MVP to just VP? Could Aaron Rodgers actually be the quarterback of the Jets and run for vice president at the same time? Spoiler alert, the answer is yes. And the conversation is next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by 9-1-1. Season premiere tomorrow at 8, 7 Central on ABC. Stream on Hulu. And we continue with our favorite photo. Would Kmart be shocked if? Here we go. Let's start with this, Kmart. Would you be shocked if Russell Wilson leads the Steelers to the Super Bowl?
Greeny, I would be beyond shocked. I think the Steelers offense will clearly be better than what it was last year. But is the goal to be better than last year, or actually be good enough to beat teams like the Chiefs or the Bengals or the Bills or the Ravens? I don't think the Steelers will be that good. So I would be shocked if Russell's able to completely resurrect his career in the most outstanding way.
We'll get RC's take on the Steelers move a little later in the hour. Meanwhile, Kmart, would you be shocked if Saquon Barkley led the Eagles to the Super Bowl?
I would not be shocked. You know what? Because right now, I understand Jason Kelce's retired, Fletcher Cox, they've got all these questions that they have to answer. But his offense, when I see Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts, and a Saquon Barkley, listen, talk about Saquon. This is one of the best moves of free agency. I love it. This is a Super Bowl contending team already. Adding Saquon, I think they have a chance.
We'll talk in depth about them a little later in the program as well. Then finally, here's a question that, as God is my witness, I never thought I'd hear myself ask. Would you be shocked if Aaron Rodgers quarterbacks the Jets and runs for vice president this fall?
Greeny, I would not be shocked. You know why? Because the New York Jets, every time I try to escape, they suck me back in.
Yeah.
With the chaos and the craziness and the circus. No, Aaron Rodgers, he's a complete wild card. So if he decided to run for president, no, absolutely not.
All right, so that is the question of the day. And in case you missed this yesterday, is he going to just remove the M and go from being MVP to just being VP? The New York Times with a report that Aaron Rodgers, quarterback, New York Jets, is on the short list of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be his running mate on an independent presidential ticket in November. They reported that they've been talking pretty continuously over the past month. What is not clear is whether Rodgers would retire from football in order to pursue the second highest office in the land, and whether he would have to or not. So for the purposes of this conversation, we will refer to our panel, President Riddick, Madam Secretary Kimberly Martin, and I'll come over here to Senator Clark. Senator, could you see a world in which Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Jets and actively running for the vice presidency at the same time?
Hell yeah.
Me too.
Matter of fact, before people think I'm going to get up here and say, oh, Aaron Rodgers is egotistical, oh, Aaron Rodgers is arrogant, Aaron Rodgers would be right to be the vice president, vice presidential candidate. Know why? Because who wouldn't? I would. If somebody came up to safety Ryan Clark and was like, hey, man, you know, I'm thinking about making you my running mate as vice president. Hell yeah. I'd have walked up to Mr. Rooney and said, Mr. Rooney, I know you guys are very heavily involved in politics. And I also know that if I become the vice president, I'm going to run amok in the White House and there will be nothing left of this country. I also have no political aspirations. But somebody, for some reason, wants me to be there running mate as the vice president, and I'm gonna do it, Greeny. And the first day that we start running, I'm gonna wear a tan suit show them.
Oh,
I'm
stepping not in this thing
like President Obama did.
Not the tan suit.
Bro, yeah. You think Aaron Rodgers ain't gonna take the opportunity to show the rest of the world that he's smarter and better than all of us? He only does it every time he talks.
Can you imagine
yes.
Tuesdays with McAfee during the NFL season? I mean, can you imagine the post-game press conference? Mr. Vice President, I noticed you checked it down on the third nine there. You looked like you had the deep crosser. Can you take us through your thinking on that? I mean, this is now we are into the area of a 30 for 30 no one could even have dreamt up. This is like your wildest Mad Lib fantasy come true. Mm-hmm. Louis Riddick, what?
Man, look, this is just the kind of conversation that only one team. Like the only other team that you could really like have this kind of conversation about that you could possibly see it happening with is maybe Dallas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's either the Dallas or the New York Jets. Okay. Never mind the fact that you know what he's coming off of an Achilles tear. Joe Douglas has had in 5 years 46 different offensive line combinations according to Hembo, and like we need to get this guy protected. Let's talk about the fact that he may be on the presidential ticket as the vice president. I know it's fun, it's cool, it's good. And you know what? Honestly, look, I'm a little bit like Ryan. If someone said, hey, look, man, I want you to be on the ticket with me to run for vice president of the United States, I'd be like,
say less.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, for the purposes of what we do here and what we cover, like, this is exactly what they don't need. I mean, this is so, I don't know, man. Look, Greeny, look, you're talking about, look, you want your football team. When he was signed there, when he went to New York, you were like one of the people who were like, look, man, this is Super Bowl or bust, man. This is our time. This is our shot. I know you couldn't be cheering for something like this now, could you?
Boo that
this
man.
This isn't something you want to see happen.
Boo, hey, Louis Riddick.
I'm just going to be honest. I think it's really cool.
I think it's fun.
I think it's really fascinating.
I think it's awesome.
And the only problem I just
want to hear, Greeny.
Yeah.
Greeny, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Do you care about if he's a vice president? Do you care?
I mean, that's such a hilarious question. let's just speak the God's honest truth. A 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming off of Achilles surgery, running 6 days a week for the vice presidency, would be the best quarterback the Jets have had in a very long time. It is still an extraordinary upgrade. We have chosen a quarterback number three and number two overall in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
And neither of them combined were as good as Rodgers would be if he just showed up on Sundays right off the campaign
trail. That's why I'm saying Louis Riddick. He just doesn't enjoy fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've seen Lewis. You've been around.
Well, he enjoys fun.
Lewis only enjoys the type of fun Lewis enjoys. Yeah. This is not fun to
this
Lewis.
This is not fun.
This is not
serious.
This is not respecting the
football.
Game. I would only have.
You're
honestly,
damn right
I'm
it's not.
Yeah.
I would only have one problem
with it.
Is that you could only make $200,000 if you're the vice president. That would be my issue.
He's made a lot of money already. I don't know if that's his biggest concern at this point. And plus, he has all his jet salary that he'll still be collecting. All right, as we continue.
He can't make that, though.
Oh, I think he can do it. I think
he'll figure out a way. Yeah, he'll figure out a way.
One voice that you trust says the Bears need to do the unthinkable with Justin Fields. We'll tell you what we think of that coming up next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on Get Up, bottom of the hour. So we have worked our way into free agency here. Let's stop a moment and think about who've been the biggest winners and losers so far. RC, give me a big winner so far in free agency.
I think the Atlanta Falcons are a big winner. When you identify your quarterback and a guy like Kirk Cousins, someone that was playing extremely well last year, we know he's a stat stuffer and can distribute the ball. Now you add him with Drake London and Kyle Pitts. You also have Bijan Robinson in the backfield. Raheem Morris said it at the combine. We didn't have quarterback play, and that's the reason I'm the new head coach. They addressed that right away with Kirk Cousins, a proven winner and a guy that you know can play the position at a high level.
They got their man. Kmart, who's your winner?
It's the Green Bay Packers. Look, they've got Aaron Rodgers' $40 million dead money cap off the books, and they are spending, and I love it. Not only did they get Josh Jacobs, a guy who a few years ago led the league in rushing, they also got the top safety on the market, Xavier McKinney. All these moves around their young, cheap, talented quarterback. Watch out for the Packers.
I completely agree. Lewis, let's go to the other side. Who to you has been one of the big losers so far?
Well, I say Dallas right now simply because they've said that they're all in, but we just don't know what that looks like. What does that mean? Like, Dak's contract still needs to be renegotiated. It still needs to be extended. CD still needs to have his contract taken care of. Micah still needs to have his contract taken care of. They still need to address the running back position. When's that going to come? Look, it's a long offseason. They still have time. But as of right now, I don't think we have any more clarity than when we began this free agency period at what all in means.
And then for me, I'm going to say that there is one individual who unfortunately has been the biggest loser in all of this, and it's Justin Fields. A kid who, if you watch this show, you know I love and believe in, and yet 31 NFL teams are telling me they disagree with me. I have been flabbergasted at the way this thing has turned out. But as it stands now, it does not appear he's going to get a chair when the music stops in this game of quarterback musical chairs, which led former Bears offensive lineman Kyle Long to share some interesting thoughts on the quarterback situation in Chicago. I understand the sense of it. Here's what he said.
You retain Justin Fields, you keep him. You also draft Caleb Williams. You get two quarterbacks for cheap. At some point during the season, somebody's going to come knocking on Ryan Poles' door because they will have an injury in their own building. They will need a quarterback that's ready, an explosive, dynamic option, and that's Justin Fields.
So he brings up the idea. Chris Canty joins us from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. I'll come right to you, but I want to just get Lewis on that quickly because again, if you're sitting in Ryan Poles' chair and you're just not getting anywhere near the caliber of offers for Justin Fields that you believe he is worth as an asset, do you hold on to him and continue to wait?
Look, I think there's a number of reasons why you don't. Number one, look, you're trying to build something in Chicago, both in terms of culture and in terms of improved play on the football field, especially at the quarterback position. So now you want Justin Fields, a guy who you said, I'm going to do right by him. I want to make sure that he gets to a place that, you know, that is good for him and that we can all move on here and we all get what we want. So now you're just going to hold on to him and let him sit there. He's not going to take any reps. You're going to be trying to get Caleb Williams ready to go. And you're just going to go ahead and foster a quarterback room that is just absolutely dysfunctional in terms of, look, these guys are going to be sitting there staring at each other going, what the hell are we even doing here? So now you also think that some team's going to become so desperate that they're going to trade for and give you a bounty for someone who has taken no reps all offseason, who you already had questions about whether or not he was ready to be a primetime player in the first place. Otherwise, someone would have traded for him already. So now he's going to be sitting on ice all offseason, all during training camp. Hell, maybe during the regular season, according to this philosophy. And then some team's going to jump up and go, hey, we'll give you a two for him. But he hasn't taken any reps. And we had questions about him last year anyway. It doesn't work like that. They're going to have to, they're just going to have to like eat this one. They're going to have to take what they can get and move on. And then set the table for Caleb if that's who they're going to draft. And let Justin just get to a spot where he can learn from a veteran. He's going to have to take a back seat. And maybe his time will come down the road. That's the way this is going to play out. This is not going to be fantasy football where some teams is going to be so desperate and give you what you want. That's not what it is.
I'm fired up on that.
It ain't what it is.
Lewis is preaching right now. We're singing from the same hymnal. I completely agree. I mean, Justin Fields is a sunk cost. The two first-round draft picks that you gave up to get him, you're not going to get anything close to that. Like, you just have to cut your losses and move on, because the one thing that you can't do is invite a quarterback controversy while you're trying to get your young quarterback's career off the ground in the National Football League. Whether it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May, the priority for the Chicago Bears is not winning games in 2024. It's making sure that you properly develop this franchise quarterback, something that you haven't done since Sid Luckman. So I don't think you need to invite a quarterback controversy. And just playing out the different hypotheticals, if the Chicago Bears started Justin Fields week one before Caleb Williams was ready, and Justin Fields plays well, it creates an impossible bar to clear for Caleb Williams, because all of a sudden, everybody's looking at what you could have got for the number one overall pick as you traded it. If you start Caleb Williams and he struggles like all rookie quarterbacks do, then all of a sudden, Caleb Williams is looking over his shoulder and everybody in the locker room and the entire fan base is looking at Justin Fields to save the day. What? You don't want to put Caleb Williams in that situation. And that's why it just doesn't make sense to hang on.
Why do you look so confused, RC?
I don't know why everybody can't see the big elephant.
What's the elephant?
What if they ain't going to draft Caleb Williams at all?
What does that mean?
Haven't we been talking about the evaluation process? The draft didn't happen. I don't know that Caleb Williams has signed a contract. Has anybody called Caleb Williams and say, hey, Caleb Williams, the Chicago Bears are drafting you number one overall. Are you ready to come to Chicago? Do you want us to take you to see the Bean? Nobody ever said that.
The Bean.
Nobody. He is not listening to Drake singing songs about being in Chicago because the chick left him. What if Justin Fields is going to be the only first-round quarterback in the room? What if Justin Fields is going to be the starter and they aren't going to draft the quarterback and they're going to trade away the number one pick? Why can't that happen? Why are we so shocked? Maybe Justin ain't been traded because they don't want to trade him.
Is that possible? Is that
That's very possible.
It's possible. Yes, my dear. It is possible. It is likely. Is it likely? No. But I like where RC's going. It's a reason. Here's another reason, though. There is a market for Justin Fields, and here's one reason why it may not be public yet. Teams know that the Bears are stuck. It's either they want to move on from Justin, and they might be asking for a two. I spoke to an NFL exec who's like, the longer they wait, the cheaper he becomes. Why would we give up higher draft picks when we can just sit back and wait for them to feel that pressure of, okay, we got to do something? Could they hold on to Justin? Yes, they could. But also, other teams understand it's a game of chicken. So if a team wants, if you know they have the number one pick and they had the number one pick last year, traded it away to
but
not take a quarterback.
Yeah. If I'm through with you, like if I'm done with you, and I know Ryan Poles is smart enough to know the closer we get to the draft, the less we're going to get for Justin Fields. The best offers we're going to get is before Gardner Minshew goes to the Raiders, is before Kirk Cousins goes to the Atlanta Falcons.
No doubt.
That's the best we were going to get. And so he is smart enough to know if I'm through with him, if I don't want him, if he ain't for me, if I'm kicking him out of bed, he gotta go now. Don't pack your bags. I'ma book your flight. I got you. You good. And so if he's not, why is it not plausible that he could be the starting quarterback? That they could
I hate to answer a question with a question, but I gotta ask you to you this way. If you thought that Justin Fields was good enough to forego the opportunity to pass on taking a quarterback, with the number one overall pick in not one but two drafts, then why, if you're Ryan Poles, do you get up at the podium at the combine and entertain the possibility of trading Justin Fields and saying that you want to do right by him in a timeline that's sooner rather than later? Why even entertain it if you think Justin Fields is good enough to forego passing on C.J. Stroud, passing on the promise of Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels? That's the part of this that makes no sense to me, which is why I think the Chicago Bears are—
because it's lying season.
It can be lying season. Right. But I think you're lying when everybody knows what you're already going to do, which is take a quarterback.
Let me get Lewis in here. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah. They're not going to keep Justin. They can't afford to.
That's what I'm saying.
Squash that right now. Squash it.
They're not going to keep Justin. And I'll tell you what. And if they do keep Justin, which, look, I've advocated for in the past and saying in terms of build up around. But if they do and it doesn't work, he doesn't take another. Look, I can guarantee you this. With the quarterbacks that they've already passed on, that have turned out to be good players, and the fact that, look, if Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May and J.J. McCarthy and all these guys wind up being better quarterbacks, I can promise you, Ryan Poles already knows the writing's on the wall. I will never sit in another GM seat for the rest of my life. Mm. And don't think for a fact that that is not something that is weighing on him. It is. Mm-hmm. It
He's
is.
He's got to play so, look, this right. I, he has to play
I think
this
right now, I think right now, look, he knows that with every passing day, the price is going down on Justin. He knows that. He knows that. And look, it's just not, it just doesn't make sense. Look, if I'm a general manager on another team, I want my quarterback in-house now. I don't want to wait until August, especially for a guy like Justin Fields, who I know needs some rehabilitation, so to speak, and needs to be in my system right now in order for me to get out of him what I want, if I want him to be a starter.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. People aren't looking at him as being a starter this year. That's why I'm saying Ryan's going to have to cut bait, get what he can for him. Justin's going to have to kind of come to grips with the fact that he's probably not going to start this year. And he needs to find the best place for him for the future. I think how it plays out.
I think that's where we have arrived. I'm going to lose Canty, so let me just ask you the final question. Give me a team. What would be the best case scenario here for Justin Fields? If you're him, if you're advising him, if he called you up and he was like, Chris, I can't believe this is the situation I'm in, but this is where I am. What's the best thing that could happen to me now? What would you tell him?
Well, I think going to a functional franchise where he can sit behind a professional quarterback and develop. There's a lot of bad that Justin Fields has to unlearn. And so the three spots that I've circled, Seattle Seahawks, the LA Rams, and the New York Giants, all have incumbent starters and all have question marks about what they're doing at quarterback beyond 2024. So I think any of those spots make sense. But just to bring it full circle, what Kyle Long said about waiting for the opportune time to trade somebody because of injuries, Chicago Bears should have did that last year. Week 4, week 5, Justin Fields combined for 700 yards of offense, 8 touchdowns, only 2 turnovers. They should have traded high when all of these other teams in the NFL had questions about what they were going to do with injured quarterbacks. 66 different starting quarterbacks last year. They should have traded them then instead of waiting until now.
All right, that's a whole other interesting way to look at it. Unsportsmanlike, every single weekday morning, ESPN Radio. You're the best, big fella. Thank you. By the way, Champ Week continues this afternoon. We got ACC quarterback action. Second round games at noon, 2:30 Eastern, Florida State, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, Wake Forest. Tons of action today on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up, what does RC think of his Steelers signing Russell Wilson? And did they make another move yesterday that might actually be just as important? We're into that next. What a morning. Get up on ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And look, the free agent frenzy has given us a lot to talk about, and RC hasn't been here. So let's do the RC rewind, as maybe the only one in the room old enough to remember when we actually used to watch things on tapes that looked like that. RC, let's start with Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Does the addition of Kirk Cousins make the Falcons a Super Bowl contender?
I don't believe it makes them a Super Bowl contender. We've seen Kirk Cousins in this league for a decade and a half, and it hasn't been to the Super Bowl. But that makes them the NFC South favorites to me, and this is going to be a team that makes it to the playoffs. When you look at what Raheem Morris already has assembled around his new quarterback on the offensive side of the football, you think about what he was able to do with the defense of the Los Angeles Rams and winning a Super Bowl and playing all of those young players last year. This is a huge move to get Kirk Cousins, and I believe it puts him in the playoffs next year.
I want to come back to that one. Let's go to Philly then. Does Saquon Barkley make the Eagles once again the best team in the NFC East?
In the NFC East, yeah. For sure. But yeah. Let's talk about the entire NFC.
Oh, the whole NFC.
Yeah, let's talk about the entire NFC. You think about the entire NFC, I believe it puts them squarely behind the San Francisco 49ers. But it's not just about getting Saquon Barkley. We've seen Miles Sanders be productive. We've seen DeAndre Swift be successful in this offense. But you go get C.J. Gardner-Johnson back from the Detroit Lions. You add Bryce Huff to a pass rush that we watched fall off last year. I think it's adding those pieces and Jalen Hurts finding a play caller that puts him in the right spots that can get this team back to where they were 2 years ago.
I love it too, and you're right. You made the question better than I made it. And then finally, here's the last one, and obviously we've been waiting all week long. RC, our beloved former Steeler, Russell Wilson, now the quarterback. We understand the contract and everything else. Is he the missing piece for this offense?
No, he's not the missing piece for this offense, because this team is about excellence and about winning Super Bowls. Russell Wilson is not going to allow this team to do that. He's supposed to come in and provide competition for Kenny Pickett. You hope that Russell Wilson wins the competition. This is going to be more about Russell Wilson now becoming what you thought he would be in Denver, which is a guy that can understand getting a team into the playoffs, a guy that can make the right plays, change his game as he begins to age. We saw him do that under Sean Payton. We saw him play winning football from the quarterback position. And one thing that we know about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin, they never play losing football
right
under him. This will give Russell Wilson an opportunity to be in the position to make plays in critical football moments to sort of restore a legacy that was tarnished in Denver.
I get it. Here's the thing about the Steelers, though. They've been decent forever. Mike Tomlin never lets them be awful. So bringing in a new quarterback to make them slightly better than decent doesn't really accomplish anything.
Yeah.
The question is, can Russell Wilson make them markedly better? Which, Lewis, I come to you on that. What is he at this point? What we know he is the bargain of all bargains, right? It cost them almost nothing.
Right.
But as far as on the field, what do you expect him to be for them, Lewis?
Someone who just kind of like directs the ship. He's a point guard, right? I mean, that's all he really needs to be. Because look, to me, I'll tell you what, the biggest move for Pittsburgh this offseason is the hiring of Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith is really the key here. Because understand what they're coming from in the years under Matt Canada leading this offense. Understand, look, people need to cut, just ask around. Just ask around as far as how people thought that Matt Canada held back that offense and held back the development of certain young players in that offense, namely Kenny Pickett. Okay, so we constantly talk about how organizations don't help out certain young quarterbacks in terms of weaponry and structure. And by structure, we mean quarterback, coach, play caller, and how they're setting up that individual with an offense that really accentuates his positives, eliminates his weaknesses. You think the Pittsburgh Steelers, look, I mean, Ryan knows this better than anybody. You think they just kind of like slapped into like going ahead and like, we'll just draft Kenny Pickett. Why not? Let's throw his name in there. They like the kid. They liked him because of what he did at school. They liked him because of the records that he broke at the University of Pittsburgh, breaking Dan Marino's record. They like what they saw. They also know that he had no shot under the current, under the former structure that was headed by Matt Canada, and that's why they fired him. And that's why they brought in Arthur Smith. Arthur is the most important part of this. Russell needs to fit into what Arthur is going to want, which is play on time. I don't need you to cook, Russ. That's not what we need you to do. We need you to play on time. Throw the ball to George Pickens. Throw it to Pat Freiermuth. Hand it off to Najee Harris. Don't turn it over. Do what we ask you to do. Improvise when you need to, but not when you want to. And they're going to be much better. And I think this needs to be an open competition because Kenny now starts from scratch. Russ starts from scratch. And that's why I think this needs to go. For us to think that Russ is just going to come in there and like kind of like bring back the days of old in Seattle where he's just running around throwing it up to Tyler Lockett and the guys and just doing his own thing, That ain't what Pittsburgh wants him to do. And that's not what he should do.
But that's the good thing about last year, though.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about last year. I get it. We don't want Russ to cook. This is not hibachi anymore. But we watched Russ adapt to playing under Sean Payton in what we now know was a hostile environment. We know that he is beyond professional. And I'm not the guy that's going to come on and apologize for Russ. I said in going to Denver, Russell Wilson being your quarterback does not guarantee you a Super Bowl. I still feel the same way. But if everything that Lou says is correct, if Lou says it's about Arthur Smith and fitting in and doing what he asked you to do, that's exactly what Russ did last year, and the numbers show that.
By the way, they traded away Deontay Johnson and traded for Patrick Queen yesterday, or signed Patrick Queen. So a big day for the Steelers all the way around. But Kmart, how should we be, if I frame this as Russell Wilson chose that as a spot because he knows he believes he will be the starter there. Like, should we be looking at Russell Wilson right now as the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think he should be. Because now when you talk to people in that locker room, like now with Russ, they know where the ball is going when it's being thrown. I think Russ may not be the Russ of old, but he does bring that veteran savvy. He's not going to turn the ball over, but he can throw it deep. Like George Pickens, like he's out there, like, feed me the ball. Pat Freiermuth is like, I'm open in the, like, just get me the ball. And I think Russell doesn't need to be Russ of old. But when you talk about the standard for the Steelers is championships. Like, I like this move because it improves the offense. But how much? Because the standard can't be, oh, well, it's better than Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett. Okay, that's not winning you Super Bowls. The offense has to be a lot better. This defense, I love the Patrick Queen signing, and I love getting Deontay out of there.
Can they be as good, again, the man who waves a terrible towel, can they be as good as the Ravens with Lamar Jackson and the Bengals with Joe Burrow? So if Russell Wilson is their quarterback.
No, they can't be as good because they can't be the same, right? They would be different. When you look at this team last year, once Sullivan took over, this was a team that ran the football extremely well.
Yeah.
We saw why Najee was picked in the mid-20s, right? We saw what Jalen Warren could do. We got to see George Pickens and what happens when you push the football down the field to him. So you take all of those things that Arthur Smith comes in with an offensive line that became road graders late in the season. Now you got to start winning like you used to win. T.J. Watt got to get off. Minka Fitzpatrick has to go crazy. Patrick Queen has to bring some of those things he took from Roquan Smith in Baltimore and bring them to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. That's what this is about. This is going to be about winning as a team as we did. We didn't have the Ben that everybody fell in love with as an all-pro caliber quarterback.
Right.
We had the Ben that did what he needed to do when it was time to do it, and the rest of us showed up. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers they're trying to go back to.
All right, everyone, hold that thought. We have so much more to do on this. It's obviously a crazy football day. Also, a reminder, tonight's a basketball night. We got a good doubleheader coming your way. Jimmy Butler and the Heat, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, 7:30 Eastern. Then LeBron and the Lakers squaring off against De'Aaron Fox and the Kings. Coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 7. Coming up, Derrick Henry not going to Dallas. Is Jerry Jones' quiet free agency so far reason to panic? I'll tell you the answer to that is absolutely yes, and I'll tell you why next.